Our first presentation is on the UNO and Diabay experiment. This will be given by Dmitry Naumov.
Okay, good morning everybody. So I'm going to make a presentation about study of neutrino oscillations with Juno and Diabay experiments, a continuation of the projects for 2018-2020. So this is the outline of my presentation. Actually, I'm going to cover only this, so it will be a brief introduction, and about I will tell about Diabay Juno experiments, overview, brief, and make a report about our activities for last 3 years, and finally I will talk about tasks to be addressed for the next 3 years. And then there is a bunch of information about requested resources and so on. If you want, we can go back and forth. Okay, so as an introduction, let me remind you some basic facts about flavor physics and neutrino physics, to be more specific. So in recent decade, neutrino physics made a tremendous progress measuring various parameters, but still there are some open questions. And let me briefly outline this open question. So the mass hierarchy of neutrino is unknown, and in two words, mass hierarchy means simply either third mass eigenstate is heavier than the first one or lighter. And on the market, there are several approaches to this to address this point, using accelerator neutrinos, atmospheric neutrinos, and reactor neutrinos. What I am going to tell you in my talk, this will be a reactor-like approach with Juno, but the next speaker will be talking about NOVA, so this is accelerator-like approach. Density violation is still unknown, however, there are some hints in favor of some of one of the parameters. We still don't know, and we are not yet in the phase to tackle that, if mixing matrix is unitary or not. And in a close relation to that, there is a question, do sterile neutrinos exist or not? And there is a long list of experimental proposals also on the market. And last but not least, a very important question, is a neutrino is a Dirac or Majorana particle? And also there is not exhaustive lists of different experiments here. Okay, so a brief introduction about the mass hierarchy experiments. So in this table, I tried to summarize several different approaches which exist so far, indicating the name of the project, the source of neutrino and its baseline, use detector, and final goal, like how many sigmas one wants to achieve, and what are the challenges. So it just to say one thing, that this is not an easy task to measure the mass hierarchy. And every experiment meets some difficulties with that. For example, Juno, which will be a reactor experiment placed at 53 kilometers from the reactors and using 20 kiloton of liquid scintillator, aims to have 3 to 4 sigmas by 2026. And its main difficulty is energy resolution, which is very ambitious. Okay, also on the market, there is a cosmological attempts to measure mass hierarchy, which is also very interesting.
Excuse me.
Yes.
The Dune is 40 kiloton.
Dune is
40 kiloton, not one.
Right. Thanks. Okay, so what's the current status of theta 13 and delta m 32 squared measurement? So this is displayed for sine squared to theta 13 in this graph, where we show various experiments which made its measurement. As you can see, the most precise measurement is given by Diabay experiment, where we participate and we are seeking for the prolongation of this activity. And for the delta m squared 32, Diabay and T2K, they give a kind of a comparable precision, and Diabay aims to improve it by a certain factor in the next 3 years. Okay, what is also, I think, nice is that the work of our group, among other colleagues certainly, was noticed in the world, and It was given a very prestigious breakthrough prize for fundamental physics. So this is a scan of diploma thesis given to one of our colleagues, Maxim Gonchar, who is going to defend his PhD thesis very soon. And there are also laureates from GNR, from other experiments, like Kahneland and T2K. Okay, so now let me very briefly outline you what is Diabet experiment. So Diabet experiment is a reactor experiment which is situated at Diabet shore, where there is a nuclear plant station which consists of three couples of nuclear cores. One is known as Diabet, and two others are Lingao 1 and Lingao 2. And Diabet uses 8 antineutrino detectors, 2 in one near hole, 2 in another near hole, and 4 in a far hole. So altogether, this gives 9 different baseline, which is a very, very unique configuration in this field. So I don't have time to. Sorry, it seems it's my car. Somebody is stealing it, maybe. Sorry. Okay. Sorry for that. I know what's going on. Okay, so I'm not able to, given this short time, overview all the results which we obtained, so I will try just to describe them in one or two slides. So we developed an IBD selection in Dubna. We estimated various backgrounds to IBD events. We performed an oscillation analysis of Diabet data based on this amount of days. And this is the official analysis of the Diabet collaboration, and we go among the paper editors. So we also made an original analysis of wave packet input of neutrino oscillations using Diabet data. And so here we are. We were leading analysis and paper writing on all stages. We also participated in reactor antineutrino flux measurement, doing cross-checks of this official analysis and reviewing the Diabet paper, and conducted a research on measurement of reactor antineutrino energy spectra due to different isotopes. So it's also initial idea and review of the Diabet paper. And also we participated in a search for sterile neutrino in different stages. Okay, so this is all for Diabet for results. So now let me go to Juno. So Juno is, let me briefly explain you what Juno is aiming to do. So first of all, a vacuum survivable oscillation probabilities, which we denote here as PEE, does depend on neutrino mass ordering, which means that the formula is different for normal hierarchy and inverted hierarchy. So, and this is the key issue, how one can try to measure the hierarchy. But in order to measure that, one has to optimize the detector. And this is a short list of parameters we have to optimize for the sensitivity. We have to set up a very ambitious resolution of energy, better than 3% as a square root of energy. At 1 MeV, this is better than 3%. Then the detector should be placed by 53 kilometers away from the reactors. Being placed at this distance, certainly one has to increase the mass, and we consider a mass of 20 kiloton to ensure good enough statistics. And this statistics is 10 to 5 in 6 years. We have to maximize the light collection efficiency, and for this reason we use 20,000 of large PMTs, of 20-inch PMTs, and 25,000 of small PMTs, which are 3-inch PMTs, and very transparent liquid scintillator. And we have to be sure about the small background. So this is basically a receipt of the detector. So this is how the detector looks like. Certainly this is yet a simulation, so the construction is ongoing. We are going to use a high quantum efficiency photomultipliers, which will have quantum efficiency on the level of 30-35%, highly transparent liquid scintillator, and this amount of photomultipliers. So this is the real picture of what is going on the site. So there is a horizontal tunnel and vertical tunnel already almost nearly completed. And this will be very rich in terms of physics experiment. Let me just briefly overview what we are going to do here. So the main topic certainly is measurement of neutrino mass hierarchy with this accuracy. Also, this will be the first experiment which will be able to measure these parameters, these oscillation parameters, with accuracy better than 1%. And with this accuracy, we are entering the precision of the quark matrix. Also, we could possibly observe supernova neutrinos. We will detect geoneutrinos with a factor 10 larger statistics than currently available. We'll detect, diffuse supernova neutrinos, solar neutrinos, and atmospheric neutrinos. We can make a study of sterile neutrinos, indirect dark matter search, and non-standard interactions, and probes for various new physics. So this table is a copy of our current plan of works in our detector. I am not inviting you at all to read all these items. What I wanted to highlight here is this column. So points here indicate the task where GNR takes a crucial leading role. So as you can see, GNR plays here a really leading role in about at least half of different activities. To be more precise, GNR is going to do the following. We are going to power Juno, which means that we are going to provide a high voltage for all photomultipliers. We are providing, in part, a top tracker, which will be ex-Opera reused target tracker, so as a precise muon detector. We are working on R&D for Earth magnetic field shielding of PMTs. We are developing PMT testing. We constructed a brand new precise scanner, which is fully automated, and we also participate in mass testings. We work also on liquid scintillator, and also there is a software activity like experiment sensitivity estimation, Monte Carlo and data analysis. So we are writing a lot of code for hierarchy and oscillation, solar and geoneutrinos, and study of rare processes. So what was done so far in the last 3 years? So we made design, production, and test for high voltage of 20,000 large PMTs and 25,000 of small PMTs. For the top tracker, we do maintenance, installation, DAQ design, and so on and so forth. For PMTs tests, we provide precision scanners, LED for containers. So this is another method for testing of PMTs. Developing scanning techniques and acception criteria. We work, and I invite for that to read a poster of Tatiana Antoshkina. We work on a PMT protection against the Earth magnetic field and doing software development. Okay, so this is a detailed plan for every year. I think we are kind of lacking time to go in full details for every point, so I think basically this is just in more detail saying the same thing which I already reported. So there is, I think, a well-thought plan for all 3 years for Diabe and Juno. Okay, and what else? So now I'm going to show you financial requests. We skip all that. So there are a number of theses defended. Yeah, this can be also important. So this is a table showing people and showing people activity in terms of FTE in Diabe and Juno. And in total, we have 20 to 21 FTE equivalent and 32 people. There are many young people here. Also, we have this table showing task sharing between different people, who is doing what. This is how our team is split in terms of degrees, Doctor of Science students, staff, PhD students, and so on and so forth. So as you can see, there is a big amount of candidate of science, which is equivalent to PhD, more or less. So this is a distribution of age, so of our team. Okay, so this is the requested resources, everything in one table. So for high voltage system production, test and supply for Juno, we request $2 million of US dollars. And for all other activities, for visits, because we need to do a lot of work on site, therefore money for 3 years is might look quite a lot. So this is $500,000 US dollars in 3 years. So in total, this is nearly $3 million for 3 years. So this is a big amount of money, but I hope that you will approve this. Okay, so these are tables showing different splits of these activities in components. Okay, so and basically, I would say I will stop here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This project has been reviewed by Antonio. So maybe we start with your report and then we open it for discussion.
Okay, so for the sake of keeping our time, I will not mention all the positive recognition of all the work which was done, outstanding work which was done by Daya Bay and the good prospects that we have for Juno. I think this is no discussion, this is a top science, and I think that we should really support these activities. And as a neutrino physicist, I feel really entitled to say that this is really top physics. However, we have to be, we have to make our reviews, and I think that there are some points that maybe deserve a little more attention. So I asked a few questions, and I know that the group has already provided some answers, so maybe the best is that we read together these questions and the answers, also my fellow colleague, for the main points, right? So maybe you want to do
yes.
That?
Yes, okay. Thank you, Antonio. So among the critical questions, let me list the following. So the effort of Daya Bay should be reduced correspondingly to the ramping up of the Juno activities. The participation should be concentrated on the work of PhD students in the position of writing excellent thesis on data analysis such to include original physics results. So this is our answer, this is our plan, also reflected in FTE migration from Daya Bay to Juno. Are you okay with that? Or?
Yeah, that's a very good statement, but we should see how do you want to implement this.
You will see this after 3 years.
Yeah, we don't want to wait 3 years, maybe. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. Okay, then the Juno physics case should be carefully monitored by JNR management in relation to the international competition in view of the potential cancellation of the Taishan NPP course that would lead to a longer data taking period, like 7.5 years, needed to achieve the aimed goals on the mass hierarchy determination. So I agree with that.
Yeah, this has an impact, okay? As you well know, Juno was designed to discover hierarchy with a large statistical significance. That was the main goal, the main reason, raison d'être of the experiment. Okay, so now such an experiment, which arrives later or third or second, with a lower sensitivity, it's I don't want to say it's a waste, but it's this is a single goal experiment. So, in my opinion, before we should be very, very careful with the let's say periodic evaluation. I am very much concerned about this possibility. This is 7.5 can become 8, 9, and then you know. So, in addition to the fact that you agree, I would like to know what is your plan B.
But what can we do? We cannot build ourselves a new reactor factory.
No, but then you have to understand what are the scopes, what is the...
No, I think the Juno experiment, as I tried to highlight earlier, is a multi-purpose experiment. So this is true that mass hierarchy determination is the main goal, but there are other many interesting activities. So anyway, I'm sure that we'll provide a lot of interesting physics results, and maybe with some delay, if this will happen, we'll provide the mass hierarchy determination. But, Antonio, you are asking a question which nobody can answer.
No, no, sure. But I don't agree totally on the fact that this is a facility. This is rather a single task experiment, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, yeah, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Okay. Other thing. So the work on the Juno PMT system must have first priority. This is the flagship hardware contribution from GNR. We think this is the first priority.
This statement from my side was positive, in the sense that I'm happy to see a GNR experiment with a clearly identified flagship project rather than helping here and there.
Yes, right.
Okay, so this is a very positive statement. I hope that you will manage.
Okay. Then, the scientific contributions from GNR researchers have been so far very good in terms of presentations to conferences and number of published papers. However, an effort must be paid concerning the education and training of students. Only 3 PhD theses were completed so far. This is reflected in the average age of the group, 40 years, and in the presence of only 3 bachelor's and 6 PhD students out of 32 group members. Yeah, so sorry to... responding to you so shortly, we acknowledge this observation and we'll pay an additional attention to hire more students. However, I have to say that I think our group is the youngest, actually, in GNR, and we are really paying, I think, most than all others attention to young people. And so, yeah, but anyway, we appreciate your comment. As mentioned above, the GNR group is large. One should make sure that the impact to the experiment be proportionally high. The referee sees that there are several cases where only a marginal contribution is expected for the future years by group members. Okay, so our answer is the following. The core of the group is very active and plays a leading role in the experiment. Several colleagues could devote a smaller fraction of their time due to involvement in other projects. I think this is fairly reflected in FTE. Their contribution is, however, important enough to be highlighted, but I think this is really a minor fraction of people who has small FTE.
Yeah. In any case, this is a general problem on GNR that we will try to address, maybe if our chairman agrees, tomorrow in the discussion. So this is rather general issue.
Right. I think... Ah, yeah, there is yes also. As far as the financial resources, the referee would like to have a better clarification of the requested funds for the major effort on the high voltage. The level of detail on the estimates is lower than for the other sub-projects despite the quantitative relevance. So let me give you here, okay, so this is not to substitute estimates in the proposal, but briefly explain you at least what we have in mind. So we estimate that 20,000 channels to be worth to $2 million. There is no commercial analog or in terms of functionalities for such a system. What exists on the market, which exists in units, are typically 2 to 3 times more expensive. So we contacted Kyan, for example, and we learned from that this is the correct estimation. We are looking also for components with higher reliability, which could lead that the price would be higher. Anyway, the final price would be determined with a tender. In case we want to keep our HV unit price about $100 a piece, but in case of a higher price, the Juno collaboration will cover the over budget. So we are not going to go beyond this $2 million anyway. Okay. The request for travel money seems to be excessive, also taking into account the overlap between Diabay and Juno. and the referee is puzzled by the coincidence that the estimate for the needed travel money adds up to exactly 500 kilo dollars. Okay, so first I would like to say that wherever possible, we try to use this overlap between Daya Bay and Juneau, sending people to both meetings if they happen to be in the same time. And also in Daya Bay and Juneau, they try to organize meetings close in time, so other people have the same feeling that we should try to minimize travel money for that. But as for the total amount of money, this is true, it is a big money. But I think we provided very fair estimate. The point is that we have to go there and really install a lot of our hardware. And so concerning this exact number, okay, so this magic is due to Roundoff, I think.
Yeah, I have doubts in believing so, but in any case, I think that the cut around 20-25% will not affect your project. So I would propose that we apply a cut.
You have a right to propose, yes. I would ask not to cut this, if possible.
This money reflects importance,
right. Okay, so I think this is all with comments by Professor Editato. There are also other comments by Professor Fnatic. I don't know if you're going to me to address them as well or not.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to comment that I like this approach in which you take the time to respond to the comments from the PAC. So that, I think, is something that should be followed by others also in the future.
Very much appreciated.
Maybe our secretary can remind the proponents of for next PACs that if they see the report and the report has questions or comments or criticism, they should try to address these as much as possible. So thank you for that. Are there any? Yes, Peter.
But I have comment to your comment.
Yes.
If this is the case, then the referee should be asked to provide their feedback before the meeting, well in advance, which is not specified in the mail that we are receiving.
Yeah, that should be by default, that you provide the report before the meeting of the PAC. So maybe we can also ask the secretary, when he asks for the report, to put a deadline for submitting the report, so that the proponents... 1 week, yeah, 1 week should be enough, so the proponents have the opportunity to study it and to prepare a response to it. Yeah, I think that's maybe a good practice that we will adopt. Are there any other comments or questions? Okay, well then, thank you very much. We now have another proposal for continuation of the NOVA experiment that will be presented by Oleg Samoryov.
Hello, dear member of the committee, colleagues, and general guests. Today I would like to present you our project to extend the general participation in the NOVA project. So, the neutrino physics, it's quite challenging from the several years, or about 100 years. And I would like to point out that it was two different prizes, actually in the same year. It's 2015, it's a Nobel Prize for Takaaki Kajita and Arthur McDonald's, and also from two experiments, and also the group, another five experiments, seven leaders, and more than 1,000 participants of this experiment was nominated for the Breakthrough Prize. So you saw this picture from the previous presentation, and I add also I add also one here. Total history for neutrino searches is about 100 years, so it's short lines of some main points. But still, there are some questions that's open for the neutrino physics. And so most of all, what we can find from the neutrino oscillation phenomenon. What we know, we have a oscillation through the neutrino species, and this oscillation could be described as a massive state of the neutrino 1, 2, and 3, and through the mixing matrix and through these mixing angles and also difference between masses, we can have an oscillation from the source of the neutrino and to the detector. So it could pass through the matter or in the vacuum. So for the moment, we have known almost all the parameters of this matrix, excluding of theta phase, and also the difference between the delta m between the mass lower case and the middle. So this is list of some neutrino tasks. It's not full, but five of these it's connected to NOVA project. So first of all, it's a determination of neutrino mass hierarchy. So it's describing of the massive state, the lowest to higher or the opposite. Also, it's a CP violation phase, what could currently connect from two experiments, T2K or NOVA, by 2020, and maybe other experiment like DUNE in the future. The one other parameter, it's octant theta 2-3, also connected to NOVA experiment, and a few several tasks like finds for the sterile neutrino oscillations or supernova neutrinos. For this free task, so we have this plot what can imagine how we measure the oscillation phenomena. So what is this? This is oscillation in the neutrino mode, for example, from nu mu to nu e. So, and if we have some point here, it's like a band. And this is anti-neutrino mode, anti-muon neutrino to anti-electron neutrino. And for example, we have a point here or here. The ellipses, it's a theoretical predictions for different parameters. So here in the bottom, it's a normal mass hierarchy. Here on the top, it's an inverted mass hierarchy. And for different CP phase, you have different points. And actually, we have a degeneracy between these parameters as an experimental point and the theoretical prediction. In addition, we can have degeneracy for the octant theta 2-3. You see that, so if we have a lower octant, we have this case, and if we have higher octant, we have this case. And the NOVA in this time, mostly in this point. So this band, it's just for imagination, not the error band. And even if we have a point for the theta, delta, it's 3p over 2. So we have two chances, depending on octant theta to 3. So we actually need the anti-neutrino mode. So what is the current status for the tasks, then the experimental type and the technology? So this is different kinds of the species. And for NOVA, it's an oscillation on the long base lane, is accelerator and the liquid scintillator. NOVA, it's quite a usual type of the study for the oscillation phenomena. If we have a source of the neutrino in Fermilab, then we have a near detector. It's about 1 kilometer from the source, And then on the distant one, 810 kilometers, we have a far detector. Here we have no oscillation, and for far detector, we have an oscillation stuff. Most of the uncertainties will be excluded due to this feature, the near detector, for example, and the far detector. Also, we have an offline or off-axis beam, which provide us the 2GV spectrum. For this distance, we have a first oscillation maximum, and far detector have a 14 kilotons detector. The active part is about 9.6 kilotons, and it's a very high active tracking calorimeter, more than 300,000 channels. Near detector is the equivalent of the far detector, but the small version. For the moment, we collected about 9 to 20 proton on target in the neutrino mode, and about 3 to 20 proton on target for antineutrino mode. Currently presented, it's 6 to 20. The technology of the detector is the following. So we have a far detector, near detector, and the prototype. It's already decommissioning. But this is a PVC tubes, 15 meters for far detector and 4 meters for near detector, filled with a liquid scintillator and set up with a wavelength shift fiber. Then we have a photo detector, electronics, and then the data concentrator module and some buffer nodes for online analysis. So here the idea how we can catch the neutrino beam. So we have a 50-150 microsecond window where for the beam we have a 10 microseconds. Starting at some value, it's 200, something between for 550 millisecond window. And here you can see the clearly peak from the neutrino. So this information for far detector, it's expectation with oscillation phenomena. And this is data point. Here the ground. NOVA goals include not only oscillation physics, but also some extension part. For example, search beyond the standard model, like sterile neutrinos, dark matter, magnetic monopoles. Also, we are looking into the universe for the cosmic rays, supernova neutrinos, and the last possibility was to look into the coincident with gravitational waves. Also, the near detector of the NOVA have a good size and very close to the beam to measure the neutrino cross-sections on different kinds. So some milestones. So this is result of the disappearance mode for the neutrino, for the muon neutrino. Here the oscillation spectra and best fit, and with the 473 events, we found only 78. So and this is provide us the parameters for delta m square 3-2 and sine square theta 2-3. The another thing that we have a maximum mixing exclusion for the 2.6 sigma. So the previous experiments shown here, so the mostly the 0.5 value, and this is for NOVA. Another result is in the appearance mode. We find 43 events with a 4.2 background, and with our final event selector, it's called CVN, convolutional virtual network. We have some bins, and this is the mostly most sensitive one. We have results for signal here. So, and some temporary result that we have discovered the electron neutrino appearance at the level of 8 sigma. And there are some expectation value for normal hierarchy and inverted hierarchy. Combined analysis provide more interesting results. So here is the plot of delta CP over the sinus square theta 2-3. This is for normal hierarchy, this is for inverted hierarchy, and this is most sensitive part. And from here you see that the inverted hierarchy of the delta Cp for pi over 2 excluded for the free sigma. This two result was published this year for the new E appearance result and for the new mu disappearance. Totally, we have four published paper and one in the archive for the search for active sterile neutrino. So this is just oscillation paper. Milestone of current year, it's that the beam have a maximal value. It's 750 kilowatt and for kilowatt, and for Nova it's 650 kilowatt. For a few period of this year, it was even more, 760 kilowatt, and very high uptime of the detector. So the saturation was about 99% of the recording for the proton from the beam. And currently, we have 13 active remote operation centers over the world, and the farthest one is in Dumna. And new oscillation results expected late summer on in fall 2017. Nova, so the GNR activity have a few tasks, what I will briefly describe to you. So first of all, it's a remote operation center would provide us a control buff detector for the long distance, probably the most longest operation center for the Nova or other object. Also, we have some inside infrastructure, including the backup connections. We also have a test bench for the electronics. You already see this picture. And we have a small small prototype of all of this system in the black box. And we measure the signal response. And we plan also to measure the scintillator properties of the Nova. Also, we develop the computer infrastructure, so for buff part locally in Dubna and also to production part in the Nova. So we have integrated our cloud into the OSG system. And here you can see the task by days from different sites. And here the ping is come from the GNR side. We also have some work in the simulation part. This is a simulation chain, and we have a task in the simulating for neutrino cross-section and electronic readouts and some exotic fluxes like supernova and cosmic rays. This is part from our colleague from the Laboratory of Theoretical Physics. Then we also have some work in the analysis feature. This is work by Ludmila Kalupaeva on a new analysis optimization for the current result, for the current analysis. It's called third analysis. Also, the Nova detector, it's the far detector, is very huge and also placed on the surface. That's why we have a lot of muons. It's about 100,000 muons per second, and we can study the cosmic rays. For example, so in our group we studied the asymmetry due to the geomagnetic field of the Earth, and also we just started work on the measure the high energy cosmic rays. Another thing that we can search for the some exotic signals. For example, like slow monopoles. Nova was not built for the for study this phenomena, but if you compare with the experiment with trying to look for the monopoles like macro, so we have or slim, so we have some region cover better than these experiments. Another feature is find for the supernova signal. So in our group was developed trigger system and the simulation for this phenomena, and currently, so it's in the testing phase, but very close to start looking for the supernova. Here you can see our galaxy, and nova cover this region, including the center of our galaxy. We have some tasks on the measurement of cross-section. So here you can see event display, and the nova detector have about 3 events in average every second. So every spill, we have about 3 event neutrino events in the NEA detector. Here the table with the people and tasks. We have 24 people here and about 13 hours currently. So the team very young. The average ages it's 35 years. And so it's not surprising because we have just 3 years working on NOVA. Here the requested resources. So the main part it's computing improvement computer infrastructure and travelers expenses. So it's less than was in previously. So it. But actually, we have more people in our group. So, and the main thing of this that we have a remote control room. We can take shift here remotely. also, program advisory committee asked for this current project, so-called SVOT analysis. And I would like to point only the strength of our analysis that. That already we have an intensive beam what is designed, and we have a very good uptime for our detector, and so we in a good shape to measure the oscillations parameters. And this is a future plan, but also so our schedule. So this is for NOVA up to 2020, and this is GINAR group. So we would like to continue and extend involvement in the NOVA experiment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our referee for this proposal was also Antonio, so please go ahead with your appreciation.
Thank you. So I will skip all the description of the proposal and all the evaluation of the achievements, which is extremely positive. I should say that for once I have really no criticism. This is really a good proposal, very well written, and specifically outlining the features relative to the contribution from JINR. So the group is not huge, it's big, but it's not huge, and is effectively committed to NOVA. Maybe I have a small comment, that you have 13 out of 24 people at 10% FTE, which is, in my opinion, a bad indication. But okay, this is a minor sin. I would say that I'm very happy in particular of the ROC, which is an effective way to invest money here to save travel money. And that's a modern way to handle large overseas collaborations. Like you don't agree with my 13 over 24?
No.
Okay. Yeah,
no, I fully agree with this. And also I can comment that the authors from Dumpna Group, it's with a high FTE.
Okay. I'm not talking about the FTE, I'm talking about the 10% contributions. But okay, this is a different story. Then I think it's a very young group, 35 years, if, or
35,
yes. And this includes 5 bachelor and master students and 8 PhD students. So this means that whenever you have very good physics, then students come. So in conclusion, I think I'm very happy, and also the fact that you have reduced the travel money due to the existence of your ROC. So this is also a very positive sign. So no main problems.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Antonio. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so then let's thank our speaker Vladimir again. So now we move to the next proposal, Search for New Physics in Experiment with the Fermilab High Intensity Muon Beams by Vladimir Glagolev.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And now we will talk for search for new physics and experiments with Fermilab high intensity muon beams. And this is a report and proposal to extend. We will talk today about two experiments, muon G-2, the muon magnetic dipole moment precise measurement experiment and mu2 experiment, search for neutrinoless conversion of a muon into electron in the field of nucleus. This is a charge lepton flavor violation process. And both of these experiments will be held at Fermilab. We just meet his 50th anniversary. And we pleased to welcome here spokesman of mu2 experiment, James Miller, who is here with this room. And he will give us some more detailed talk about mu2 experiment after coffee break. So, briefly, this is a Fermilab accelerator complex and AGV protons from recycler ring will go to a muon area. Here is a mu2e experiment which will use AGV protons, and here is G-2 experiment which will use secondary muons from target station. And muon G-2 collaboration consists from the 8 countries and 185 members. And this experiment should measure anomalous magnetic momentum. And this momentum is calculated taking into account different contribution, quantum electrodynamic, electroweak, hadronic contribution, and measure it at the Brookhaven. But still, there is a 3.3 sigma discrepancy between theoretical calculation and experimental data. So it is a potential place for new physics here. And the goal of this experiment is to measure anomalous magnetic momentum with accuracy 0.14 ppm, which is four times better than the previous measured values. Experimental technique, there is a muon storage ring which will capture free GV muons in a uniform magnetic field and then measure the precession frequency of muon spin using the positrons from muon decay and look at this kind of diagram. And the precession frequency is proportional to anomalous magnetic momentum. And this is a plot which taken this June from pilot run from G-2 experiment already. It shows what the experiment is in very good shape already. And how to achieve four-time improvement compared to previous measurement? It could be done by increasing statistic, cleaner beam, inject more often, and run longer, and reduce systematic to use a more modern detector and improved field uniformity. And this is a schedule of G-2 experiment. The pilot run already started in this year. And it's supposed to take physical data from 2018 to 2012. After that, mu2 experiment should start. And this is a summary of GNR contribution to muon G-2 experiment. This is a prototype of straw tracker with 1 millimeter longitudinal space resolution was created and tested successfully. Online data quality monitoring software for colorimeter prototype has been developed and successfully used during test run at SLAC in 2016. What in progress? Development of online even display program based on so-called ProView data analysis and visualization software is in progress. And MIDAS online alarm support development and support integration of all required alarms from different experiment subsystem and support of alarm system during beam runs. And new is planned MIDAS online database support and interfacing and participation in the test and data taking runs and analysis of the physical data when experiment will obtain this data. MUTE collaboration consists of over 200 scientists from 37 institutes. And MUTE will measure the ratio of coherent neutrinos muon to electron conversion rate to muon capture rate. This is a formula. And previous values obtained by syndrome collaboration in 2006 is at the level 10 to the minus 13. But the purpose for MUTE and COMET experiment to reach this value at the level of 10 to the minus 17. At the standard model, such process is could happen, but at the level 10 to the minus 54. But there are a lot of new physics models, such as supersymmetry, compositeness, elliptic quarks, and others, which predict such process at the level of 10 to the minus 15, and this value could be reached by MUTE experiment. The great grandparents of the MUTE experiment is Viktor Lobashov and Rashid Jilkibayev, who is working with us. And method: stop negative muons at aluminium target, stop muons forms muonic atom, and when next main things can happen. Muon decays at the orbit, muon captures on the nucleus, and muon to electron conversion. And we are looking for this process, and it should manifest itself by 105 monoenergetic electrons. Baseline of MUTE apparatus is shown here. It starts from 8 GeV protons, which comes to the tungsten target. There is a magnetic trap, and when secondary muons comes from transport solenoid to the data solenoid, and muon stop on aluminium target here, which emits electron isotropically. And there is a main detector shown here with a tracker and two disc of colorimeter. And this is a simulation results. The simulation estimates single event sensitivity at the level of 10 to the minus 17. It shows here by red. And main background comes from the electrons from muon decay in orbit, shown tail here blue, 0.2 events. And our background is also at the level 0.2. This is a cosmic background and related with primary beam. Colorimeter consists of two disks shown here, should be able to operate in an environment where it does up to 100 kilorads and neutron fluence 10 to 12 neutron per square centimeter. And each disk of colorimeter is filled with 700 iodide cesium crystals, 33 by 33 by 200 millimeters. And each crystal is read out by two large area ultra-wide extended CPMs. And requirement: it should provide energy resolution about 5%, timing resolution not worse than 500 picoseconds, and position resolution about 1 centimeter. And here is example of a fully simulated conversion electron event In overlap, we will all hit from environmental background on the left plot, and by requirement, we track hits to be in time. We have a most energetic cluster of event in a time window of 50 nanoseconds. The quantity of background hits is strongly reduced. You can see here, and 50 nanoseconds is connected with drift time in the straw tubes. Crystal choice. At the first stage of elaboration, LISA was the primary choice, but due to enormous high price of LISA became at 2014, collaboration finally decided to go to iodide-cesium crystal at the first stage of MUTE, and on the second stage of MUTE, which is more radiation, hard convenient. Phthorite barium crystal was chosen. Cosmic ray VITA is shown here, and VITA system covers entire data solenoid and half of transport solenoid, and consists of about 100 models. Cross-section of single models is shown here. It uses four overlapping layers of scintillator with fibers, two fiber per each bar, and readout by SIPMs. Summary contribution for colorimeter from GINR. What is done? Electromagnetic colorimeter simulation, LISA, iodide-cesium crystal, and matrix simulation, time energy resolution, longitudinal uniformity. Prototype LISA crystal matrix test at electron beams and data analysis. Iodide-cesium crystal matrix tests at Yerevan electron accelerator at the energy range from 15 to 35 MeV. Prototype iodide-cesium matrix test at Frascati electron accelerator, energy range 70-105 MeV. Radioactive sources test of iodide-cesium crystals at our lab. What in progress? Electromagnetic colorimeter simulation, preparation to crystal tests at GNR electron accelerator, so-called LINAC 800, R&D with phthorite barium crystals and solar blind photodetectors. A new plan is iodide-cesium crystal quality assurance test at Yerevan electron accelerator, test at Frascati electron accelerator, test at our lab on radioactive sources and cosmic muons, and participation in colorimeter assembly and commissioning. And this is more detail about contribution. We are developing a new calibration method for colorimeter and MUTE experiment using electrons from muon decays in orbit to provide uniform coverage and higher statistic, where magnetic field will be reduced, and calibration accuracy about 1.5% is available. This is a contribution to test of LISA crystal matrix at MAMI and Frascati accelerators. You see the energy resolution is very good, and for 100 MeV, it's about 4%, and time resolution for 100 MeV is about 200 picosecond. And this is some results from the test of crystal matrix at Frascati and Yerevan electron accelerator. Matrix demonstrated good linearity and energy resolution 6.4% at 35 MeV. And this is a GNR electron linear accelerator. You can see some photo. This is a general view of accelerator. And DLNP in cooperation with University Center are interested in the soonest start of a linear electron accelerator in the building 118, CITES LNP and for use. And we investigating the possibility to obtain of low intensity beam of electrons at this accelerator. And this is a radioactive sources test, and it shows what longitudinal response uniformity not worse 7%, and measured ratio of fast to total scintillation components is 0.8, And in the second stage of MUTE, with two order of high luminosity supposed to assemble colorimeter on phthalate barium crystals, which have appropriate radiation hardness, and there are no commercially available ultraviolet photodetectors able to work in magnetic field at 1 Tesla, and we carried out research on photodetectors for phthalate barium crystals and developed a photodetector sensitive to the fast component of the spectrum of crystal in the range up to 260 nanometers and insensitive to the slow components peaking at 310 nanometers. And GNR contribution to cosmic ray Vita system summary shown here. What is done? Simulation of CRV counters characteristic, increasing of light yield from scintillating strips, the method of parallel filling of several fiber channels developed, test beam of CRV counter prototypes are performed, and technology of CRV four layers model assembly is developed and pilot model is produced. In progress, simulation of CRV efficiency in the experimental setup and radiation hardness test of scintillator strips and filler samples at the GNR IBR2 facility are performing. The new plan, test beam of the so-called SKTN field counters, designed and creation of a stand for quality assurance testing of a produced CRV four layers model up to 6.6 meter length, control on the CRV models production and quality assurance test, and participation in the CRV system assemble and commissioning. Little more detail. One of the efficient methods of increasing light collection from a plastic scintillator by fiber is filling a space between them with optical glue or some other filler with refractive index of which close to the scintillator, and which was done, and this is some plot. And at the end we show the light yield of a strip filled with optical resin, SKTN MET, in average is 1.8 times higher than dry strip. And we also perform a radiation hardness test of the scintillator strips and filler sampled at the IBR2 reactor at GNR. The fluxes of neutron shown here, and for our filler we show what the transmission spectrum practically doesn't change, and it could be used for MUTE experiment. In the 2015-16, a group of GNR colleagues was sent to University of Virginia to establish a mass production process of scintillation modules cosmic ray Vita system. Here you can see our colleagues, and we successfully developed a procedure of model assembly and created two pilot CRV models. We have a set of agreement between GNR and FNAL, which is shown here. The last two is a non-proprietary users agreement between GNR and FNAL from August 2015, and statement of work for participation in MUTE experiment from February 2017. Okay, I'm finishing. And here you see a lot of publication hour connected to this project. Conference reports. What next? Next will be Proton Improvement Planet, Fermilab. And if MUTE will see the signal, it could use another target or not. It just increase sensitivity. And this is a full-time equivalent. And totally you can see about 13% for MUTE and 4% for G-2 participation. This is a detailed plan for material and travel. And this is a standard form 26-29. And summary. Precise muon experiment could improve sensitivity by a factor of 10 to 4, provide discovery capability over a wide range of new physics models, and complementary to LHC, heavy flower, and neutrino experiments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This proposal was reviewed by Joachim, so please.
Again, I will not go through the physics, which was very nicely presented here. I think this is very good. And I think also what was also clear from this presentation is that the Fermilab is really investing a lot in this muon campus and in this beam, and one has to keep this in mind when looking at the project. So I will just read you my short summary and then make a comment at the end. So I think the new beam facility and the experiments are making very good progress on the way to a timely completion. The Jinner Group made significant contributions and is playing also a very visible and important role in both experiments, G-2 and Mu2E. And in summary, I consider the proposed project with the Fermilab high-intensity muon beam very interesting scientifically, with a very high potential. And I strongly recommend the continuation of this very exciting project in my eye. Now, there is one thing which I was missing in the proposal that you sent to me, and that's the manpower. So you alluded to this in a slide that you have here. I had the impression, reading all the members of the group, on your first slide there is a certain mismatch in there, which you might be able to explain to us. And secondly, I think you'll have there a project, G-2, obviously, which will produce very interesting experimental results very soon. I wonder if you have also some plans for to get young scientists excited by this. I mean, PhD student, it would be an ideal experiment for a very interesting PhD thesis. Thank you.
Thank you, Joachim. Any other questions or comments or some response from your side?
So, what was the question about mismatch participation in the first page and this table? Yeah, maybe on the first page indicated more people and more organization, because at the stage of our participation in this program, these people would like to participate or somehow to follow this project. But at least we have some scientific discussion with these people, and probably they will participate more actively. Maybe we will send some young people from Slovakia, for example, to our collaboration. And we also participate and collaborate with Kharkov colleagues. And we hope this collaboration will succeed also and continue. Kharkov could provide crystals. Geodesic crystals for Mu2 experiment.